When my mother passed, when she died in not too long ago, she left part of her inheritance to her grandchildren. Follow me, brethren. It's rare follow me to Proverbs 13, verse 22. Follow me to Proverbs 13, 22. I thought I'd add a different twist, putting a scripture in my introduction, but it's fitting. And it says here, and it talks about good men. It says, a good man leaves an inheritance to his children's children. But a sinner's wealth is stored up for the righteous. Going back to in Ecclesiastes, Solomon states that all of what he has is somebody else is going to use. All his suffering that he did to obtain that material gain is going to be used by somebody else. My mother, however, left something more for her grandchildren than an inheritance. It was her legacy. See, the word inheritance and legacy are often used hand in hand, to the point that the word legacy is used in place of inheritance. You'll notice people, I don't know if you notice that when people talk, the title of my sermonette, brethren, is Leaving a Legacy. You know, they have TV show now. I don't know how old it's been running, how long it's been running, but it shows that about these people who go into where someone has passed away and left a multitude of stuff, and they go through it for the survivors, and they pick out different things and they give it to those survivors, and they auction off the rest. And they use the word legacy a lot. They just pretty carte blanche, just leave it. And I said, well, that's not a legacy, that's material stuff. Going back, and it says an inheritance is tangible stuff that you can hold on to. Stuff like money, property, assets, right? And a legacy is the intangible impact you leave, like such as values, wisdom, and lessons. You leave someone, creating a lasting influence that transcends mere possessions. You know, I know my father left me something. My grandfather left me something of a legacy that I still use today. I remember, and you don't have to be a family member. You can be a teacher. I remember my first job here in Corpus was, they called it a landscape technician. Well, that's a fancy word. And I helped do landscape, you know, the walks and planted palm trees. But one thing I still use, that the landscape architect trained me on how to properly trim a tree. And you would think, well, that's kind of, no, you don't, there's a certain way to trim it to make it look the way you want. And you don't trim it any time of year, you trim it a certain time of year. So, and that's something I use to this day. Again, an inheritance is a financial event, but a legacy is the mark you leave on people and on the world. There's some people that have left their legacy to this world, often shaping their character and future actions. Unfortunately, going to my grandparents, right? Unfortunately for me, my grandparents lived thousands of miles away from me. I lived on the border of Texas, and on one side, my grandparents lived in Mexico City, and the other lived in Massachusetts. So, and I just saw them once or maybe twice. I had minimum interaction with them. So I envy those that are close to where their grandparents live. Use them. Because grandparents have the experience and knowledge that comes from surviving a great many years of life's battles and wisdom. And hopeful to recognize how their grandchildren can benefit from these. What can you pass down to your grandchildren? Not so much the pocket knife, or what can you teach them? Grandparents are positioned to contribute unique ways to child's development. Life has usually slowed down, and yeah, we find out that we're not invincible, that we succumb to illnesses, and they had more time to process life itself. In other words, grandparents have. God intended it to be that way. That way gives us time to instruct. And we have a special role in influencing young people. And not necessarily to grandchildren, to young people in general. Let's go to Deuteronomy. Deuteronomy 4 and verse 9. Let's go to Deuteronomy 4. Deuteronomy means, what is it, 5? Deuteronomy 4. Verse 9, if everyone's there. And it says here, it's talking to everyone, not just to the elderly, because it says here, take heed, watch, pay attention, yourself, and diligently keep yourself. At that time, a lot of people wanted to retain what life experiences they had. Lest you forget the things your eyes have seen, and lest they depart from your heart all the days of your life. And it says, teach them to your children, whatever it is that you can pass down to your children and to your grandchildren. Parents are normally the primary influence on a child. Of course, but grandparents offer a different level of teaching that can greatly supplement without supplanting the parents' responsibilities. You know, we've heard that, oh, they can come to grandma and grandpa's and we'll spoil them and send them home. But unfortunately, nowadays, what the reality is, grandparents are, that most of us, or maybe some of you know, that we're raising the grandchildren. You know, they spend more time at grandpa's and grandma's house than they do at the parents'. Grandchildren are grandparents' link to the future. Grandparents are children's link of the past. I remember they said, Grandpa, what are these big things my grandchild is? What are these big things called? They're called LPs, record players, you know. They're LPs, and you play music. You can't play it on the phones, you know. You can just use it that way. And I'm pretty sure everybody talks about telephones and stuff like that. And my grandson, James, has told me that my Nana said, we're expired. You know, we have expiration date. So anyway, grandparents should be the best family historians, connecting children to their roots and nurturing family traditions. Important elements for a child's sense of stability. Basically stating, where do I come from? They can ask you. Grandparents, what can you pass on to your grandchildren? What can you pass on that's fundamental to your grandchildren? Not so much direct supervision. Let the parents do that. What can we do, you know, as grandparents? Even more important than leaving a physical inheritance, you can plan and pass on your experience and knowledge and wisdom. Some critical areas for child development. First is God's way of life. Always connect what we have to God's way of life. The basic, what's right and what's wrong. That's our secondary. We're supposed to supplement what the parents should be teaching. We're supposed to say double that. A second one is character development. Now, some psychologists say that this is an essential from the ages of 0 to 6 years old. The character of that child is done. It's stated. It's there. It's ingrained. So that's where a lot of they say these criminals and a lot of people, narcissists, that's how narcissistic tendencies are brought up. And we as grandparents can shuffle that direction of the other way into sharing, into instead of selfishness, that type of thing. And emotional maturity, that's where we can take our grandsons or granddaughters and bring them up according to their, and show them what is the right emotional maturity. Not to cry about every little thing, that sometimes they have to endure certain things. Relationship skills. Responsibility. You know, what is your response? You're responsible to cleaning your room. And what's the consequence of not doing that response? Well, you know, you have consequences. Physical skills. We teach them something. You know, whatever it is, what we are. If we're good in with our hands, we show our grandchildren what to do with our hands. If we're good in numbers or in accounting, we show them book of numbers and see how there is how they can do in numbers. Or if they're little ladies, we show them different what their strong traits are. Some of them, some ladies like to learn how to, you know, use tools. So you teach them that. And some men like to bake. So you teach them that. These life skills do not come naturally to children. They don't come naturally. There, lots of times if we, and I'm pretty sure you've heard, some children just like to kick back and you know, mom and dad will serve them. Sometimes they're used to that, and that's what we have to kind of show them the other direction. Their products are Proverbs 22, verse 6, admonition. It says, train up a child in the way he should, the operative word, should go. Because after, that's a decision, right? In at work, we'd have that in a workflow, and there was a decision flow. One of those, it had a pyramid in it, or a diamond. That meant decision, you know, yes or no. And that's left up to her or him. They need to choose it. You can choose and teach them the right thing, the way to go, and they can say, you know what, I don't want to go that way. You know, that's what it says should. After 4 to 6 decades, grandparents have learned a lot about how life should work best. The way they should go. You know, we grandparents said, see these scars I've got? You know, don't go this way, go that way. It's these family narratives and personal experiences you convey, the teaching opportunities you create, and love you build in doing so. That communication that grandchildren will eventually treasure more than anything else. Grandparents who see their role as a responsibility and work to do it well will quickly realize the truth of Proverbs 17:6. Children's children are the crown of old men. Bequeath them a legacy, a great relationship with you. Decades later, after they're grown and long after you're gone, I don't know how I've told, I have a 21-year-old grandson, and there have been times where he says, you're right, Grandpa, I shouldn't have done that. And I say, yeah, well, Dad, I told you. They will continue to draw from your treasury, or you can probably lend them your ear. Everlasting memories of love, inspiration, direction, encouragement, wisdom, and relationship with them. Brethren, fear God and keep his commandments.